Are we on? Okay. Good morning. I'd like to thank y'all for the opportunity that y'all have given us this morning and the opportunities that all the family of God give us as we go throughout our lives to be able to preach the gospel and just spend fellowship with each other. As they've said, I'm Josh Posey. I'm the son of my dad, Mark, and the grandson of Glenn Posey. I'm going to be a third-generation preacher, and I leave here in about 15 days to go to Faulkner to start my freshman year and be a part of a program called the Vanguard Program, where I travel on certain weekends every month, and I preach at different congregations, and I take different classes on a Friday where elders and preachers from other churches, they mentor us, and they tell us, kind of, you know, give us insight on the work of God and help us as we begin to grow. I've preached at about 21 different congregations, and I enjoy that more than I can explain. It's definitely a privilege and an honor when I get that privilege to be able to do that, and I appreciate that. At the beginning of the summer, our youth minister at Austinville, he resigned as the youth minister and decided to become a pulpit minister. So as that happened, we begin to think, what are we going to do with the youth this summer? So I went into the elders' office on a Wednesday night when they were meeting. I said, would it be okay if I was the intern at Austinville this summer? And they gave me that opportunity, and I've been the intern all summer long, and it has been something I've enjoyed more than anything. And I enjoyed it every day, and I'm still enjoying it to this day. And when I became the intern, I quickly realized how important the youth were and how important they are in the growth and development of the church. Because as I was the intern, I began to realize that all those times that I was told that the youth are the future of the church, it finally came to realization of me that the youth really are the future of the church. So when we were asked to speak here, I thought, what better thing to speak on than the youth? And this morning I'd like to talk about six different challenges that young people face and a way that we can help them. And I believe that I can give a little bit of insight. And I've experienced all of these challenges and I've gone through them. And so I believe that we can all benefit from this. And these aren't just challenges that young people can take and apply to their lives, but that people of all ages can take and apply to their lives. And so we're going to talk about those challenges. When you face a young person with a challenge, it excites them. Young people, they like a challenge. A challenge to do something is something that gets them going, something that gets them excited. Any type of game, sport, any type of thing that causes them to be competitive is something that they like, something that gets them to be very competitive and active, something that a young person likes. When you put a challenge before someone that is young, it gives them kind of an incentive to move, an incentive to go and do things that they wouldn't normally think they could do. And it puts that incentive in their mind. I played football through my whole high school career. And when we would practice, we would start off the practice with stretching. And right after stretching, we would do kind of a drill that was called the test of a man. And this drill was definitely a test of a man. Some people refer to it as the Oklahoma drill. You have a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, and a fullback, and a linebacker, and a running back, and a safety. And you line up in about a distance that's as wide as this stage, and the running back has to get to the end of the distance between the bags without getting tackled. And so, me being a defensive lineman, it was my job to be the first line of defense, to be the first one to stop the offensive lineman, to take on the block, and best case scenario, tackle the running back. And as a defensive lineman, if anyone has played defense in football in here, you know that you live by a code. And a code that they pound into your head every day, a code that you chant while you stretch, while you practice, something that they want bound into your head, something that they want you to live by. The code that we said, I was very privileged to have a coach that was a very strong Christian man. He's a very strong Christian man, and the code that we lived by on that practice field was something that was related towards God. A very strong Christian man to lead us in everything that we do. In all things that I do, the glory will be given to God in every part of my life. Respect will never be lacking in my attitude, and self-control is something that describes me. When my hand touches that green grass, whether it be practice or a game, I promise to give it all and to give it all to benefit the team. I will always give all my efforts to benefit and to make the team better. I will always do my job, and I understand that being a superstar, and this is my favorite part, I will always understand that being a superstar is left up to quarterbacks and the rest of the offense. We are defense and we do not break. And that's the thing that we would always say. And when we would start this drill, it would give us kind of an incentive to go, an incentive to move. And we liked it because it was a challenge. It was something that pushed us to go beyond what we thought we could achieve. And that's what young people like. They like a challenge. But sometimes in life, challenges, they aren't always good. Sometimes challenges can be evil in our lives. For example, maybe when you're entering a state college and a young man is asked to join a fraternity. Sometimes the challenges that they are faced are not always good. Sometimes they are evil. And in this lesson, we're going to look at the things that challenge young people. We're going to call these our worthwhile challenges or our worthwhile goals. That's what we're going to be discussing. The first challenge that I want to talk about is the challenge of respecting authority, something that most young people struggle with. Seems to be a tendency among teenagers and young people to want to back away from authority and say, you know what, I want to do my own thing because I think I know best for myself. And when I make decisions, that's going to be the best for me. And this respecting authority is sometimes something they struggle with. The good Lord has given us the ability to have a free will. And with that free will, as a young person, we sometimes decide that authority isn't what we want to follow. You know, young people, they have to learn that in their lives, no matter what time, no matter where they are, that there's always going to be someone that is there that they have to answer to. Whether it be as a child, your parents, when you're in school, your teachers or school officials, policemen, judges, tax officials, etc. But the most important person that we are to answer to, the most important person to give authority to in all our lives is God. And that is the one that we have to look for and look to for all guidance and give Him the utmost authority over all things because He does have all authority. First off, young people should seek to obey God in all things that they do. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. We must always remember our Creator in all that we do and seek to obey Him in everything that we do. We see that God is the utmost authority over all things. And so as a young person, if we go to seek God and to obey Him in all things that He says and to obey Him in all things that we do, then that will become a habit. And as we grow older, we can know that when we were young, we learned to seek and obey God, and that it is something that we love and we desire to do. Not only should we seek to obey God in all things that He says, but young people should seek to obey their parents. I've had these two verses that I can think of pounded into my head as I was a young person. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 is one that I remember directly. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. One of the elderly men at our church, he's the grandfather of my best friend. And he told us a story about how someone asked him, they said, Peepaw, you're really old, but you seem to be in such good shape. Why is that? He said, well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 3 says that if you obey your parents, you will live long on the earth. So that's what I did when I was young. And so we should, as young people, seek to obey our parents because we know that they know best for us. And they want us to do good things and become good, strong Christians. I once heard a man say that he still obeys his parents now that they're long gone, because he knows in every situation what they would still want him to do. that he still seeks to obey them. We should also seek to obey the laws of the land. We're told about this in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, that we are to obey the laws of the land. And that you know, laws of the land are set forth most of the time to protect us. Sometimes as a young person it might seem kind of fun and crazy to go against the laws and maybe to do something that we shouldn't do. You know, it might seem fashionable to go against some of the laws that have been set down for us, but we need to realize that they are there for our protection. Laws that we should respect with authority, because there are people in place that have authority over us that work for a law division. Young people, we don't need to follow the crowd when the crowd does evil. Sometimes when you're in a group of people and that group of people decides to go do something, it might seem like the fashionable thing to do. When they say, you know, we're going to go here and hang out here, or there's a party here some night. We should know that this crowd, they represent an evil. That sometimes all people aren't trying to look out for the betterment of us and for the good of us. And that some challenges in our life are evil, and that they are temptations in our life. And that when that comes, we shouldn't follow the crowd of evil, because even a pack of dogs will follow each other in things that they do, and things that one would not normally do. So we have the challenge of respecting authority, and that is a great challenge that young people face. Second, we have the challenge of becoming responsible. It's definitely a hard challenge for young people to grasp. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27 talks about this a little bit. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. If we learn as a young person to become responsible and learn to work hard, that will benefit us in the rest of our lives. That if we learn to work hard in all that we do, we have a farm in Natural Bridge, Alabama, and when we go there, it's definitely hard work. But some of the lessons I've learned on that farm, some of the ways that I've been told to work, as my father tells me, they've helped me in the ways that I live to work hard throughout my life. In football, that was definitely a good thing that taught me to work hard and to respect authority. That even when I think that I can't work hard, that I can't go any farther, that I had to push on. And that is a lesson I learned that's good. Young ladies, y'all need to learn to work hard, because one day you will be a wife and a mother. And that will benefit you if you work hard. This will later help you be a responsible wife and a mother. Young men, we need to learn to work hard. Work hard in everything we do. This will help us later when we have a family, to be able to support that family and to become responsible and become the man of the household and help us do our best in our job and in our workplace, in whatever we choose to do. Those who work hard will make a good life for themselves. And the main goal in life isn't to become wealthy and to have as many things as you can. But in this day and age, it takes money for us to get by and to live. And so if we develop this attribute of working hard, of hard work when we are young, then that will follow us through the rest of our lives to become hard-working men and hard-working women. And young people, get a job that you enjoy to do. I've chosen to become a preacher, and that's something that I do enjoy to do. The first time I actually preached my first sermon was a Sunday morning at Dancy's Chapel. And we started services and went on, and then I stepped into the pulpit probably about 10 o'clock. And I think we were singing the invitation song about 10:09. And that was my first sermon. But I loved it. I loved being up there and talking to people about God. And since then, I've developed more qualities. But you need to pick a job that you enjoy, so you can become responsible and you can enjoy working hard, because it is enjoyable. And this is the only way that we can survive in this world is to work hard and do something we enjoy. Because if you do something you enjoy, you'll look forward to doing. And that's a good thing. There's also examples of in the New Testament of people being encouraged to work hard. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we see that we should serve the Lord with a hard work. Remember Paul's strong words to those who would not work in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Remember too that physical labor is important. And there is a time for physical labor in our jobs, but we also need to learn to work hard, because if we work hard in our physical labor, then we'll become hard workers of the Lord's church. And that is important, to become a hard worker of the Lord's church. Usually those who are very diligent workers in their life become very diligent workers for the Lord's church, and that is important. I once heard a man say that making a living is like chopping weeds. It's important that we need to chop the weeds in our own yard, but we don't need to chop the weeds in everyone's yard. Likewise, we don't need to work to make a living and then take every opportunity we can to make money. We should work to make a living and then work to help the Lord's church grow. That we shouldn't take up all our time trying to make money, that we should make the money that we need to get by and then spend our time working in the Lord's church. Because when that day comes that we go on into eternity and we're going to the judgment, the things that we made in this world, the things that we gained through our physical attributes, they won't matter as much as the things that we did in our spiritual life, the way we helped the Lord's church grow. So, as young people, we have the challenge of becoming responsible. Thirdly, we have the challenge of gaining wisdom. The main endeavor in a young person's life is to get through a secular education. Just graduating from high school, I always heard, you know, high school, it's a waste of my time. I'm not going to need math where I'm going, and I'm not going to need English where I'm going. And I mean, I'll admit I'm guilty of saying that sometimes. But in this day and age, an education is something that you need. A degree is something that is somewhat required when you go to a job. And so an education is important. Some consider education as a useless waste of their time. You know, a waste of their such precious opportunities. I don't need to be spending 8 hours at school when I could be out doing something else. But it's something that we need to do. This is bad because we're rapidly moving into a day and age where you have to have a degree to get a job. And that's what it will come to. Too many young people take those early years and they waste them. They don't work their hardest in education and they make their opportunities to become less. And so we need to work hard in gaining wisdom in our secular education. In spite of this, we should not make education our main goal. Education isn't our main goal in life. We need to make our main goal seeking after God's Word. An education is a sacrifice to get a job. But we don't need to sacrifice our spiritual growth and our faith for an education. Because if you work your whole life to become a genius, what will you do when that day comes? You need to spend your time getting your education and spend your time helping the Lord's church grow and gaining in wisdom of God's church. Let's look at an example of that in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we see a very good example of gaining in wisdom in the Lord and Savior. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinance in Israel. There are four things that I want to focus on in this verse. Four things that Ezra sought to do that we can apply to our lives and seek to do. First off, Ezra, he prepared his heart. This is where it all begins. At the start, you have to prepare your heart. Prepare your heart for what is going to be done. And there must be a willingness in this preparation for your heart. You must be willing to prepare your heart to be able to receive the wisdom of God and to be able to receive the things that He offers. A good example of this is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So we have to start with this simple step, the preparation of our heart. And that's what Ezra did. He started with the preparation of his heart. Secondly, he prepared his heart to seek the law of God. And that is important. We won't be able to follow the law of God unless we seek it and we know it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Dad mentioned that earlier, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to prepare your heart to seek the law of God, to seek through it and find the things that you have to do. Because you can't abide by the law unless you know the law. And that is an important step. In college, young people, they study many different books. But there's only one book that is 1,000 times more important than any book we'll ever read, and that is the book of life. And that's the book that we should follow throughout our lives, that we need to seek the law from. That is the Bible. Thirdly, Ezra prepared his heart to do the law of God. We all should seek to do the law of God and to do the Lord's will and to take it and apply it to our lives and follow by the commands that we're given. And fourthly, Ezra prepared his heart to teach the will of God. And that is the final step. Because you have to prepare your heart. Prepare your heart to seek the law that God has set down. And then you have to apply that law to your life. And unless you know that law and you've applied it to your life, it is hard to get up and teach the law if you haven't applied it to your life and your living. It's definitely, Ezra had it in the proper order. He had it in the correct order that you must learn before you can teach. And before they are willing to do. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. See that we have to know the law before we can teach it. And so it is spiritual wisdom that will lead us to eternal life and give us that eternal life where we can spend the rest of time with God, that we must gain that wisdom of God and apply it to our lives. Fourthly, we have the challenge of gaining experience. Sometimes in life, there's things that we just can't learn from anything except experience. Sometimes lessons learned are something that are best learned by experiencing them. As young people, we make mistakes in our lives, and mistakes that we sometimes regret making, but sometimes mistakes are something that we need to learn not to do something. And experience is something we need to do. There are some things, you know, that we just can't learn without experience. Mark Twain, he once said that a cat that sits on a hot stove will learn to never sit on a hot stove. Some things that we learn have to be learned through experience. And so we have that challenge of gaining experience. And that cat will probably never sit on a hot stove again. And so he learned that from his experience. And young people, we have a manifold of different experiences in our life that we have to endure and learn from. We encourage our young people to walk with God in all the experiences that we go through, all the experiences that we take. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Talks about this. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, we learn from experiences. And if we draw to God in these experiences, then He will draw near to us. And we can learn from them and put the experiences behind us, the mistakes behind us, and learn to never make those mistakes again. And that's something that we need to learn, and it's a challenge that young people face every day. Is gaining experience. And we do not need to learn everything by actual experience. We can learn by other people's experiences, by the things that they've done, by the experiences that they've had. We can learn from what they've done, and we can learn from that. For example, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he tried to find happiness by experiencing various things in life, various different things, and concluded in the end that they were all in vain. One of his often repeated statements in Ecclesiastes is, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So we see that one young man said that he wanted to enjoy all those things before obeying God. That he wanted to enjoy all the things of life before he obeyed God. But he missed the very point of the writer of Ecclesiastes, the point that he was trying to make, that he wrote those things to spare people from the experiences that he had, and to spare them from the foolishness of the following course. Young people, they need to listen to the counsel of others. When I began the internship at Austinville, I many times met with elders, and they gave me counsel and shared with me their experience, and that helped a lot. And I've learned from my own experiences through life not to do certain things and not to associate with certain people, and then given the experiences of others helped me to benefit and become a stronger Christian man. And so we need to learn that challenge of gaining experience. They can encourage us in things that are wise and profitable, because those that have more years under their belt than we do, they can help us in our life and help us make decisions that will lead us on the right path and in the right way that we need to go. It is exceedingly wise for young people to listen to sound advice and instruction, to listen to their parents and to their grandparents and to those who can offer advice, and that understand that they love them and earnestly want them to continue on the walk of light on the narrow path that not many people walk on, but give them experience to let them be able to walk on that path and to be able to understand the experiences that they did. So we have the challenge of gaining experience. Fifthly, we have the challenge of rejecting worldliness. And this is probably the most important challenge that we've looked at. That worldliness is something that tries to push itself upon us. The devil is a sly thing. And he has ways that he can kind of just work into your life without you really noticing it. And we need to reject that worldliness when it does show. Because sometimes as a young person we see worldliness and we say, oh, maybe just a little bit of it won't hurt. Maybe just, you know, if I just do this little bit, and then that'll be it. But then once that one thing is introduced, it starts to have the snowball effect and grow as it rolls down the hill. And so we have that challenge of rejecting worldliness. Good and clean fun and happiness are something that we should strive for. And they're an important part of our youth. Fun is something that I'm excited about at Faulkner. One of the choices I made to attend a Christian college was because I went to a public school and I understand what that clean fun is like, but then I understand what that fun is that other people try to have. That fun that isn't so clean and good. And so I chose to go to a Christian school because I know I would be surrounded by people that are working for the same goal as me. And that clean, fun, happy lifestyle that a young Christian can enjoy is something that young people should strive for. God wants young people to enjoy their youth because it's a fun time in their life. And I know that my youth is kind of coming to an end as I'm entering college and leaving high school, and that it's slowly starting to fade away. I miss the days of taking naps in kindergarten and watching cartoons all day, and the only worry of my life was where my Transformer action figure was. It wasn't a doll. It was an action figure. And, you know, I see that's starting to draw a close, and it was a fun time in my life, and I enjoyed it. And God wants young people to enjoy their youth and everything that they do, and remembering that He is the one that gives them that life, and that He is the one that provides for us, and that we should enjoy it with God in our lives. Go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to look in verse 11, chapter 11, verses 9, and then go 9 and 10, and then go down to verse 12 and read verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I want to focus on the three R words that we hear in these three verses. Verse chapter 11 and verse 9, we see the word rejoice. Be happy and enjoy life. Life is something that we should enjoy through our days, and it's something that we should rejoice in. The second R is remove. We remove that sorrow from our life and that sorrow that surrounds us, and remove the evil from our lives so that we can enjoy our lives. When we surround our ourselves with people that are looking at the same cause that we are. We surround our life with people that make us laugh, people that love us. We surround our lives with people that want the best for us, and then we pray for those who don't. Pray for those who aren't following the same path as us, and try to be a good example for them, to reject the worldliness and show them that living a Christian life is fun and that it brings you more happiness than you can describe, and that living the Christian life is something that we should all strive for. The third R is remember, and that is always remember God. Always remember God in everything that we do. Because if we remember God in most things that we do, in everything that we do, then we can have a better understanding of rejecting that worldliness. The bracelets that we all used to wear, the WWJD bracelets, they were a good reminder of what would Jesus do in this situation? And that's a good question. What would Jesus do in this situation? If you were to ask yourself in every situation that you got in, what would Jesus do? You would be a great person. But being people, we make mistakes. Being human, we make mistakes. And so in everything we do, we should try to reject that worldliness that tries to surround us. It is a great challenge for young people to live in the world, but not be of the world. John chapter 15, verse 19 talks about this. John chapter 15 and verse 19. If you were of the world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Also in chapter 17, verses 14 through 16 of John, chapter 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not like the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Just as Jesus lived on this world and separated himself from that worldliness sin, from that worldly attitude, we should strive to do the same thing. It's a hard challenge to live in the world but not be of the world, especially with all the technology that's coming up. You have phones that can get on the internet. You have all different kinds of things. You have television with hundreds and thousands of channels that you can watch. And that worldliness surrounds us. But we should reject the worldliness to live in the world but not of it. And to be of God. And to be of Jesus. And to live a life like Jesus lived. And we need to encourage our young people to choose good companions. To choose good friends. Friends that aren't of the world. Friends that don't do the things that the world says it's okay to do. The world says it's fun to do. And set their goals and all the things they do to the Lord above, to set their goals on the things that Jesus set His goals on this world. To live a life that reflects Jesus. To live a life that when people look at us, they can see Jesus in us. And His dad talked about modest apparel. They can see Jesus in us and see Jesus through us. And we are a light of the world and a salt of the world. The way to be transformed to the world is by renewing your mind, as we mentioned earlier in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And we hope that as young people learn about how life is and they go through their experiences and they try to reject worldliness, that they will try to be of the world less and less and be more of God more and more. And this will make them live a happy life and a life that reflects God and a life that will and all get you into heaven, into that eternal life where we can spend eternity with God and live happily forever. And finally, the last challenge I have is the challenge of growing spiritually. The challenge of growing spiritually in this world that is corrupt and growing spiritually towards God. And that is definitely the most important challenge that young people face today. Young people, we hope As a congregation, as a family of God, we hope that young people, that they live their lives and that they won't make the mistakes that we made. And as I was the intern, I spent a lot of time on Tuesdays and Thursdays with young boys. On Tuesdays, we would have a Bible class and then play dodgeball or basketball and go out to eat. And just being with them was amazing. some of the insight that they have on life is very moving. A lot of the things that they would say in those Bible classes surpass their knowledge of their years. A lot of times there's a young boy at our church. His name's Harry Dobbs, and he's probably 11. And I came in one Sunday morning, and I wasn't feeling good. I was very sick, and he always sat next to me at church, and I just watched every move that I made. And I sat down, and I was, you know, I didn't feel good. And he just looked at me. He said, "Are you okay, Josh?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay. I just don't feel too good." He said, "Is anything wrong? You look worried about something." I said, "No, Harry, I'm okay. I just don't feel good." He said, "Well, you know, if you need someone to talk to, I'm right here." And that just moved me, that their love for God, it's so pure and so great that if they could keep growing spiritually the way they grow in their young years, that the church would be stronger than ever when they grew older. And so that challenge of growing spiritually is something that young people face. The kingdom of God comes first. And that is the one thing that we need to apply to our young people's lives and try to get them to understand that the kingdom of God is the most important thing in your life. That before all activities, God comes first. And that's something that seems to start to grow nowadays. That the activities that we have, the sports playing on Sundays and Wednesday nights and the practices that we have, that they seem to take kind of a precedence over gathering with other Christians. And we need to help them encourage each other and encourage them that the kingdom of God does come first. Because the best evangelists in the church are young people. Because they can spread the word to more people than we can understand. And they need to understand that the kingdom of God does come first. Developing a good study habit is something that young people need to do. Something that will help us grow spiritually. And working on Bible lessons and praying daily. But developing a good study habit. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent in presenting yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Who does not need to be ashamed. Sometimes that seems to be something that happens in a young person's life. You know, they just look like they're having fun. I don't think, you know, they don't want to hear this. I don't want them to not like me if I go over there and start saying something. But we don't need to be ashamed of this gospel of Christ, rightly dividing the word of truth. So good study habits are something that we should encourage our young people to develop. Don't forget to pray always, also, is a good thing that they need to develop. And to keep themselves pure is another important thing in a young person's life. Seeking to grow into a mature Christian is something that will end them up in heaven. In the end, they will end up in heaven, and growing into a mature Christian is something that our young people should strive for every day, and we should help them to strive for. We can't afford to miss heaven. We can't afford to do it. If you miss it, you miss it all. Your life would be something that you wish you could do over if you missed heaven. So as young people begin to develop, we need to challenge them to become a spiritually strong person and to grow spiritually in God. It's a place of eternal rest. Sickness and pain and death will not be present there. No sadness, no tears. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible, an inheritance that is undefiled and does not fade away. It's a great inheritance that we should all strive for. And growing spiritually as a young person and as any age is something that we should all strive for. Because there's many things that you can reach in life. There's many goals that you can reach. But growing spiritually is something you can do every day without reaching an end. And that's a challenge that young people face today. Let God's Word guide you in all that you do. And let no man put you down for trying to grow spiritually. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of salvation that gets us into heaven. And suffering for His cause, we should rejoice for that. James chapter 1 talks about suffering for Jesus' cause and how we should rejoice, have all joy when that happens. So these are just a few challenges that young people face on a daily basis, and challenges that not only young people, but everyone face. And challenges that we can all look forward to and to help our young people grow spiritually and become stronger people in the Lord's church. Thank you for your time.